नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्णप्रेष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमते भक्तिवेदांत स्वामिनति नामिने नमस्ते सारस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणे निर्विशेष शून्यवादि पाश्चात्य देश धारिणे जय श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासादि गौर भक्तवृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे 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 कृष्ण। सो थैंक यू ऑल वेरी मच फॉर जॉइनिंग टुडे सेशन। We have been discussing from the first chapter of the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The chapter is titled as The Advent of Lord Krishna, Introduction. So I'll do a quick recap of what we have seen till now. Parikshit Maharaj starts the 10th canto. Actually, Krishna's pastimes were summarized by Shukadeva Goswami towards the end of 9th canto only. So Parikshit Maharaj says that, my dear Shukadeva Goswami, you have elaborately described about the dynasties of the Sun dynasty, the Surya Vamsha and the Chandra Vamsha, along with the characters of and activities of the great kings who appeared in that dynasty. And you have also described the descendants of Yadu, who are very pious and strictly adherent to the religious principles. So now, can you please describe in detail about Krishna, his birth activities, and how he left this world, about his glorious character from the beginning to the end of his life, everything. And he says that Krishna, then he glorifies the act of hearing and discussing Krishna katha. Nivritta tarshair upagiyamanat bavoshadat shrotra manobiramat ka uttama shloka gunanuvadat puman virajyeta vina pashupnat. So he says that this Uttama Shloka Guna Anuvada, you know, discussing the glorious qualities of the Supreme Lord, is Nivritta Tarshe Rupagiya Manat. It is generally practiced by those who are no longer interested in the temporary glorification of this cosmic manifestation. This acts as Bhavaushada, a medicine for samsara. Shrotra manobiramat, and it gives great pleasure to ears and mind. And therefore, who will not be interested in such a glorification, except for a person who is completely absorbed in the Karmakandiya sections of the Vedas, vina pashupnat, in which there is killing of various animals in the animal sacrifices, like that he says. So then he continues in the next verse. He says that how Krishna was very critical. Krishna is not just his cause of interest to know about Krishna very specifically stems from the fact that Krishna was so closely associated with his predecessors. Arjuna and the Pandavas defeated the ocean of Kauravas along with Timingala fishes like Bhishma, Drona, etc. Only because Krishna was there. My own mother was protected by Krishna, and he protected me personally within the womb of my mother, even though I was already almost burnt by the Brahmastra of Ashwatthama. And therefore I am very much interested to hear about his pastimes. Kindly enlighten me by describing his transcendental characteristics. And then he continues. Then he asks specific questions here. So then he asks about Balramji. He says, how did this Balram, it is mentioned that you know, he was transferred from the womb of Rohini to womb of Devaki. You know, how is this possible? Without, you know, generally one takes birth from two different wombs only if one gives up that body and takes rebirth again. So how is this possible? Can you please describe? And why did Krishna leave Mathura and go to Vrindavan? And where did he live in Vrindavan with his relatives? And it is mentioned that Krishna lived both in Vrindavan and Mathura. What did he do there? And why did he kill his own uncle? Generally, you don't do it. How many years did he stay in Dwaraka? How many wives did he get married to? Therefore, please speak in detail about all that I have asked you and all that I have not asked also, whatever you feel is relevant, you please speak, because I am very, very eager to hear, and I am very faithful also. And I am feeling, and don't think that, you know, I am not eating or drinking. I am feeling fully nourished by the Harikatha from you. Naishati dussaha kshunmam tiktodam api badate pibantam tvan mukamboja chutam harikatamritam. I am not feeling pangs of hunger or thirst because I am feeling fully nourished by the Harikatha which is flowing from your mouth, the nectarian Harikatha which is flowing from your mouth. So, Shukadev Goswami, after hearing these sincere questions by Parikshit Maharaj, he thanked Parikshit Maharaj and began speaking Krishna Katha, which purifies the impurities of Kali. Kali Kalmashagnam Pratyarcha Krishna Charitam Kali Kalmashagnam Vyahartu Marabata Bhagavata Pradhanaha. So here he is addressed as Bhagavata Pradhana, Shukadev Goswami. Vyasakischa Bhagavan Bhagavata Pradhana. Like that. Then Shukadev Goswami starts. Shukadev Goswami says, O Parikshit, because you have deep attachment for Krishna Katha, it is certain that your intelligence is firmly fixed in the spiritual understanding. The symptom that someone's intelligence is firmly fixed in spiritual understanding is that person gets attracted to Krishna Katha. So you have such deep attraction to Krishna Katha indicates that your intelligence is firmly fixed in the spiritual understanding. And there are three categories of people who get purified by Krishna Katha. Vasudeva Katha Prashna Purusham Strim Punatihi Bhaktaram Vrchakam Shrotrim Tatpada Salilam Nita. So there are three categories of people who get purified by Krishna Katha. Bhakta, then Vrchaka and Shrotri. The speaker, the inquirer and the hearer in that order. You know, the speaker gets most purified, the inquirer next, and the hearer after that. Of course, this is a very generic presentation. This is not a compulsory rule. Sometimes it all ultimately boils down to the sincerity. So if sometimes the hearer may be much more sincere than the speaker, so then definitely the hearer will get more benefited from that Krishna Katha than the speaker himself. But generally speaking, hearing one can, you know, there is least accountability for attention in the process of hearing. One can inattentively hear, but one cannot inattentively speak. It is very rare. If one has to speak, one should be very focused only then, and thoughtful. But one need not be focused and thoughtful in the process of hearing unless they are going to be examined for what they hear. Then that introduces a sense of, so like that. Anyways, so then after appreciating in this way, Shukadev Goswami starts the storyline. he mentions that how Bhumi Devi became overburdened by the demoniac kings and their troops, and Bhumi Devi approached Brahmaji, and then accepting the form of a cow, she came before Brahmaji, and with tearful eyes she spoke about her misfortune to Brahmaji. Brahmaji, after hearing her, along with Lord Shiva and the Devatas, he took Bhumi Devi to the shore of Shirodhaka ocean, and there they glorified the Lord through Purusha Sukta prayers. So while in trance, and after they offered Purusha Sukta prayers and pleased the Lord Shirodhaka Sai Vishnu, Brahmaji in trance, he heard the words of Shirodhaka Sai Vishnu, and he conveyed the message to the demigods. So Brahmaji told the demigods that please hear the order of Shirodhaka Sai Vishnu and execute it quickly and attentively. So please hear what the Lord has an order for you. Please hear that order and execute it quickly. Like that, Brahmaji tells the demigods. So this is where we ended our discussion last week. So before we continue our discussion further, if there are any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add, you can please go ahead. Okay, if there is none, then we will continue our discussion forward. Okay, so this is Brahmaji going to communicate to the demigods what was the order given by Shirodhaka Sai Vishnu to the demigods. So he says, Puraiva pumsa vatrito dharajvaro bhavadviramshair yadushupajanyatam sayavadurvya bharameshwareshwarah svakala shaktyakshapayamscharet bhuvi. Lord Brahma informed the demigods. Okay, this is implied. This is already there. So he said, Pura eva. Pura means before. Before what? Before we submitted our petition to the Supreme Lord, Pumsaha Ishvara Ishvaraha, the Supreme Lord, the Lord of all Lords, Avadruto Dhara Jvaro. Avadruto, he knew, he understood Dhara, Mother Earth, Jvaro, her sufferings. So Pura eva Avadruto Dhara Jvaro. Before even we spoke and submitted, the problems to the Lord already knew about the distress on Saha Yavad Bhuvi Chared. Consequently, for as long as the Lord moves on earth, Yavad Saha Bhuvi Chared. Yavad, as long as the Supreme Lord Saha Bhuvi Chared, as long as he moves on planet Earth, Urvyaha Baram Kshapayan, in order to diminish her burden, Swakala Shaktya, by his own potency in the form of time. So how is the Lord going to diminish the burden of Earth by his own potency in the form of time? As long as, the Lord moves on Earth, Bhavadbir, all of you demigods, Amshair Upajanyatam, all of you should appear through plenary portions as Yadushu, as sons and grandsons in the family of Yadus. Okay. So Brahma said, before even we submitted the petition, the Lord knew about Bhumi's suffering. Therefore, as long as he moves on earth, to diminish her burden, all of you demigods should appear through plenary portions. In the family of Yadus, like that. So Shila's Vishnu Jagadakur writes here, Brahma repeats the words of Lord Vishnu in four verses, 22 to 25. Okay, this is 22. Okay, he says Pumsa means Bhagavan Shri Krishna, because Srimad Bhagavatam describes Krishna as the person who will appear to relieve the problems of the earth. So he says here, Pumsa Avadhruto. So Pumsa refers to Krishna. Okay. So Pumsa means Bhagavan Shri Krishna, because Srimad Bhagavatam describes Krishna as the person who will appear to relieve the problems of the earth. Okay. And then again the word Pumsaha or Puman is used to indicate Krishna in, even though the word Pumsa or Purusha is used to indicate Purusha Avatara, but the word Pumsa is also used to indicate Krishna in many places. Okay. So therefore he says, Krishna Swayam Samabhavat Parama Pumanyo, you know, Brahma Samhita says, Krishna himself, who is a supreme being, Puman, he appeared. Samabhavat. Okay. So, therefore, Pumsavadruto means Krishna himself understood the dharajwara, the distress on earth. Okay. Avadhrita, known. So, Krishna already knew the sufferings of the earth. Okay. Amshair Yadu. The demigod should appear along with the Lord's associates, such as Uddhava and Satyaki, who are expansions of the Lord in the family of Yadu, the Kurus, or more specifically the Pandavas. So he says that the demigods will appear along with the Lord's associates, such as Uddhava and Satyaki, who are expansions of the Lord. So, according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur, Amshaihi refers to the eternal associates of the Lord. Okay. And when they descend, in their bodies, the demigods will also descend along with them. That is the meaning. So, the demigods should appear along with the Lord's associates, such as Uddhava and Satyaki, who are expansions of the Lord, in the family of the Yadus, Kurus, or more specifically the Pandavas. So he is telling that my eternal associates will descend. When my eternal associates descend, in their body, you also descend. You know, that is the instruction that the Lord gave to the demigods. So, Ishvara Ishvaraha. Krishna is the Lord of all the Lords, including Vishnu. Therefore, he is addressed here as Ishvara Ishvaraha. Okay. So therefore, here the word Pumsaha, even though the word Pumsaha generally refers to Purusha Avataras, here in this case, Shirodaka Sai Vishnu, but it refers to Krishna. And he is the actual Ishvara Ishvaraha. He is the Lord of all Lords, you know. Lord, including Lord Narayana, and the Purushavataras and all the other expansions. Avadruto Dharajaro. And he understands. So this explanation is given because otherwise it would mean that if Shirodaka Sai Vishnu only understood and he only came, then it would mean Krishna is an expansion of Shirodaka Sai Vishnu. It would mean like that. That is why it is very clearly mentioned here that here the word Pumsaha refers and Ishvara Ishvaraha refers to. Otherwise, the word Pumsaha Ishvara Ishvara can refers to Shirodaka Sai Vishnu also. Pumsaha is very plain and clear because Pumsaha refers to the Purushavataras generally, not always. And Ishvara Ishvara can mean he is the Lord of all the demigods. And that way it could be taken. But here the word Pumsaha indicates Krishna and Ishvara Ishvara indicates that he is the Lord of all the controllers including Vishnu and Lord Narayana. Like that. So therefore, and that is the way it should be understood. So then he continues. Vasudeva grihe sakshat bhagavan purushapparah janishyate tat priyartam sambhavantu surastriyah. Bhagavan Purushah Parah, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Shri Krishna, who has full potency. So he can be taken as Parap Purushah, you know, the ultimate Purusha. Sakshat Janishyate, he will personally appear. Vasudeva Grihe, in the house of Vasudev or as the son of Vasudev. Sambhavantu Surastriyah, therefore all the wives of the demigods should also appear. Tat priyartam, in order to satisfy him. Krishna will personally appear as Vasudev's son. Therefore, all the demigods, all the wives of the demigods should also appear to satisfy him. Srila Vishnu Jagadakur writes, Surastriyaha, wives of the demigods, refers to expansions of Krishna's eternal female companions who were present in the heavenly planets. So, some of the personalities, so Surastriyaha does not literally refers to wives of the demigods according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. It refers to the expansions of Krishna's eternal female companions, various consorts who are present in the heavenly. So he says examples are the wives of the Manvantara Avataras and Lord Vamana. So Lord Vamana Dev is present in Swarga and his consort is an expansion of Mother Lakshmi, you know, ultimately Srimati Radharani. You know, there were Manvantara Avataras. You know, each Manvantara has a Manvantara Avatara who is taking care of the universal management. And they also stay in the heavenly planets. And their consorts are also expansions of Krishna's eternal female companions. So therefore, Surastriyaha does not literally refer to wives of the demigods according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. So Surastriyaha refers to you know, the eternal female companions of Krishna who are staying in Swarga, like the consort of Vamanadev, consort of the you know, Manvantara avatars like that. So he says that they performed worship to attain friendship and intimacy with Krishna's most dear lovers, the Vrajagopis. Okay. So these female companions, they performed worship to attain friendship and intimacy to Krishna's most dear lovers, the Vrajagopis. So which means it looks like they were sadhana siddhas. Okay. They were sadhana siddhas. They performed worship to attain friendship and intimacy with the gopis. Because of this worship, it took birth in the Yadu dynasty as different Priyasakis of Krishna in Bhauma Vrindavan to enrich the Lord's transcendental pastimes. So because of this worship, they took birth in the Yadu dynasty as different Priyasakis of Krishna in Bhauma Vrindavan to enrich the Lord's transcendental pastimes. This is the explanation of Sri Vishnu Chakrati Thakur. And talking about Janishyate Tat Priyartam, they would take birth Tat Priyartam for the pleasure of Krishna, to satisfy Krishna. Ujjwala Neelamani by Srila Rupa Goswami, it says, Nitya Priyanam Amshastu. When Krishna appears in the family of the demigods in partial form, his beloveds also appear in the form of demigoddesses to please him. So sometimes when Krishna appears as Vamana and other such forms, or some of the Manvantara avatars, that is a partial manifestation of Krishna. So Krishna's fully manifested consorts, they also partially manifest in the form of the consorts of Vamana and the other consorts of the Manvantara avatars, like that. So when Krishna appeared on earth, these devis appeared as young unmarried gopis, the Priyasakis of the Nitya Priyasakis. Okay. So when Krishna appeared on earth, these devis, who were partial expansions, appeared as young unmarried gopis, who were the Priyasakis of the Nitya Priyasakis. So the Nitya Priyasakis are the thoughts of Krishna, and the Priyasakis of the Nitya Priyasakis were their expansions, who were the consorts of Vamana and the other Manvantara avataras in Swarga, like that. So yeah, any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add. Okay, if there is none, we will continue our discussion. Okay, there is one hand up. Yes, Madhavi Gopi Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Dandavat Prabhuji.
Dandavat.
Prabhuji, these expansions, like Lord ordered the demigods that you also should appear in your plenary portion when I am appearing to assist in my pastime. So, as the Lord's expansions are there, similarly, these plenary portions of the demigods are their expansions, or how it should be understood?
Hey, that's what we discussed, right? Actually, I clarified in the beginning of this whole thing, whole course, that for some reason, because Bhanuswami Maharaj first translated the 10th canto and then subsequently started the from the first canto onwards. So when he did the 10th canto, he adopted the BBT translations only, and only the commentary he translated, only the commentary of Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur he translated. So in doing that, what happens? The translation many times does not match with the commentary, because different acharyas can give slightly different explanations. So Therefore, here if you see in this particular verse, the word surastriyaha is explained by Srila Prabhupada as the wives of the demigods. But actually, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti says this is not wives of the demigods, but this is wives of the consorts of Vamanadev, the other Manvantara avataras, who are partial expansions of the eternal consorts of Krishna. So Krishna is complete, and Krishna's partial expansions are the Manvantara avataras, Vamanadev, who all stay in the heavenly planets, and their consorts are the partial expansions of the consorts of Krishna. So Surastriyaha, according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur, refers to those consorts who are partial expansions of the consorts of Krishna. So and they were actually in one sense explained by Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur as sadhana siddhas who performed worship of Krishna and then attained that position. So therefore, when Krishna descends, they also descend as priyasakis of the nitya priyasakis of Krishna in the Bhauma Leela, like that it's explained.
Okay, Prabhuji, thank you, Prabhuji.
So, okay, then there is one more question in the chat box. So after reaching the spiritual world, also there is a distinction as sadhana siddha and nitya siddha, or was it only in the case of the wives of the consorts of Vamanadev? Well, no, there is no, I mean, a sadhana siddha remains a sadhana siddha only, but there is no difference as such. There is no difference as such. So, but definitely, you know, in terms of Krishna's dealings, it depends on, you know, as you know, Krishna's dealings with the associates, whether they are Nitya Siddhas or Sadhana Siddhas, depends on the nature of that relationship. You know, like for example, you know, we saw in the, I mean, of course, those of you who have attended the Bhakti Rasama Sindhu sessions. Akila Rasamrita Murtihi Prashramara Ruchirudda Taraka Pali Kalita Shama Lalito Radha Prayan Vidurjayati. So Krishna deals with different types of gopis in different types of ways, you know, depending on whether they are, how closely they are connected to, how closely they are connected to, Krishna. So, so there are, you know, there are Vipaksha gopis, there are Tatastha gopis, then there are Supaksha gopis, then there are Swapaksha gopis, and then there is Radharani. So there are like broadly five different categories of gopis who are actually so there are five different categories of gopis actually, and Krishna's interaction with them is actually different, you know, different levels of intimacy, and it is because and they also relish those different levels of intimacy only, you know. So so if someone by practice of sadhana, they eventually become, you know, any of these categories, Krishna's reciprocation with them will not be different in terms of, you know, someone being, you know, a sadhana siddha or a nitya siddha, but it will definitely be based on, you know, what kind of paksha one may go, if you are talking about these kind of things. But of course, there are some of the eternal Nitya Sakis, they are not even Jiva Tattvas. They are actually Shakti Tattvas only. So they are all Kaya Vyuha Rupa of Srimati Radharani. So they are all bodily expansions of Shrimati Radharani, they are not Jiva Tattvas. That is one of the questions also here. These consorts of Vamana, are they Jiva Tattvas? No, they are Shakti Tattvas only. But they are personalities, and because of course there is a doubt here. Are they Jiva Tattvas because it is mentioned that they performed worship to attain that position? So do Shakti Tattvas perform worship to attain that position? Well, yeah, this is a good question, and I will have to confirm this from His Holiness Bhanuswami Maharaj. So I will write it down and I will get it confirmed. So they are certainly expansions of the eternal associates of Krishna, but are they Kaya Vyuha expansions or are they just Jiva Tattva expansions? I will have to confirm it. I will write and confirm it. Okay, Adi Bhagavan Prabhu has shared a reference here from Brihad Bhagavatamta, second canto, sixth chapter. Okay, we have not yet studied sixth chapter, but yeah. So there it says, just as the demigods who have entered the material creation are counterparts of the Lord's Vaikuntha associates, those eternal associates from Vaikuntha are incarnations of the Goloka devotees. Yet, like the demigods themselves, those on earth now and again for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. Okay. Okay, it's not completely clear what exactly it says. Just as the demigods who have entered the material creation are counterparts of the Lord's Vaikuntha associates. Okay. Those eternal associates from Vaikuntha are incarnations of Goloka devotees. Yet, like the demigods themselves, those on earth now, and again for the pleasure of Lord Vishnu. Understand? Okay. It's not very clear what exactly it means. But anyways, I will try to find this out. I don't know the context, so exactly I am not able to relate to what is being mentioned here in this Brihad Bhagavatamrita quote. And it somehow, I strangely feel that the sentence is not complete. Yes, Radha Pramod Prabhu.
It means here it is meaning that there are demigods in the spiritual world. So they come here and who have entered the material creation as the counterpart of the Lord. Means they come here. So maybe associates are... The concerts are also coming like that.
No. Yeah. Here, Srila Vishnu Chakradhakur mentions that the Surastriyaha actually refers to the consorts of Vamanadev and the Manvantara Avataras, who were
only of the Lord who comes as demi, means who come in the heavenly planets, like all these Manvantara Avataras who are incarnations of Lord. It is only referring to incarnations.
Yeah, that's how Shri Vishnu Chakradhakur is explaining it.
So now even like the devotees who practices in the bhava of manjaris and they attain the spiritual world, they become manjaris. But still, they will not be like Shakti of Lord. Even though they are like Tatastha Shakti only. They are not like internal energy of the Lord, like the gopis of spiritual world.
Can you repeat, bro?
Like say now, like Srimati Radharani and gopis and all, they are the internal potency of the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
We are like marginal. But the living entity goes and he also becomes one of the manjaris, but still remain marginal. He can never become the internal. He will be able to render that service, but he will remain as a jiva only.
Correct. Yeah, he is jiva tattva only. Correct.
Even they may get the position of, they are getting more position than Lakshmi also. They may get the position of Lakshmi, like the sages who had that desire to be consorts of the Lord. So they may become wives in Dwaraka. So they are getting the position of Lakshmi, but they are still Jiva.
Yeah, true. Yeah. So, and it's not that every, see this, I will have to confirm. I will have to, you know, I have not read much along those lines. I will have to confirm, are all the eternal associates, see, because there is a difference. There are Nitya Siddha Jivas also, Nitya Parshadas. Not all Nitya Parshadas are Shakti Tattva also.
Yeah.
There are Nitya Parshadas who are Jiva Tattvas. There are Nitya Parshadas who are actually Shakti Tattvas.
Yeah.
So the Nitya Parshadas who are Jiva Tattvas are under the control of the internal potency. Whereas the Nitya Parshadas who are Shakti Tattvas, they are actually manifestations of the internal potency only. So yeah. Now, what exactly is the difference? And who all fall within the category? I know the Ashtasakis definitely, the Swapaksha Gopis are all Kaya Vyuha expansions of Srimati Radharani, that much I know. But beyond that, I don't, maybe I have read, but I don't recollect, or maybe I have not read, but I will have to confirm that. But when a Jiva Tattva, when he performs sadhana to attain that position, he will at the most, he will remain a Jiva who is under the influence of internal potency, but he will not become a Shakti Tattva. That is my understanding.
Yes, I also felt.
Yeah.
But there don't seem any difference. He is also Manjari. They are also Manjaris.
Yeah, in that sense. But whether the Manjaris themselves are Kaya Vyuha expansions, or are they Jivas under the influence of Nitya Siddha Jivas under the influence of internal potency? I will have to confirm that. I think we did read it somewhere in Jaiva Dharma, but I will have to go over it and then I will get back.
Yeah, we had discussion on it about
long time back we did discuss about it, but I don't recollect much. I will try to get back.
Nice.
Kalanidhi Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Dhanatpur.
On this particular code that Adi Bhagavan Prabhu has given, it seems to indicate that the Goloka devotees of the Lord only enter into Vaikuntha as his eternal associates. And once again, the same Vaikuntha associates, they enter into material creation in the form of demigods. And those demigods further take birth on earth at the pressure of Lord Vishnu. Similarly, people on earth also, like that, its sentence ends in half. So whether
I will as of now, Prabhu, I will not take that quote, because we have not come to that chapter. I don't know what is the context.
Yeah, it gives
right to another question. So I feel a little bit not uncomfortable speaking when I don't know the context.
Yeah, yeah,
so I will leave that quote as of now.
Yeah,
because
yeah.
I don't know the context, I will not comment on that.
Okay, very good.
Okay, there is another question. The following messages of Adi Bhagavan Prabhu are giving some kind of explanation of the same. Okay. Are Nitya Siddha Manjaris like Rupa Manjari also? I said I don't know. I'll have to confirm that. Yes, Adi Bhagavan Prabhu, you want to comment?
Yes, Prabhuji. Actually, that quote is Brihadbhagavatamrita. This section 202 to 208 explains about the various avatars of the Lord. The context I also have not known, because I have not read this section. But when I asked this question, somebody shared me this section. And in the purport, it is explained as Kalanidhi Prabhu says that it is understood to be like that. The purport says like that only. So it says that, yeah, just like Nanda Maharaj is in the Goloka. He appears also in Vaikuntha. And it says that then he also appears on the earthly planet, the same Nanda Maharaj. So it says that that very line says that, for example, Sri Nanda Goparaj, the eternal beloved father of Krishna in Goloka, appears in Vaikuntha as the eternal associate of Narayana, called Nanda. And he also occasionally descends to earth in his original identity. So Sri Balram also, who resides in Goloka, manifests in Vaikuntha as Sesha. Yet he appears among the demigods as the bearer of earth in the seventh Patal region. And he sometimes comes to earth as the selfsame Balram. Mm-hmm. Like that, 3-4 examples are given. At Sri Dama comes as Vinata in Vaikuntha.
Vinata, not Vinata, Vinata Sutta, the son of Vinata.
Ah, correct, correct. Vinata Sutta. Yeah, son of Vinata. And occasionally appears as Sri Dama originally. Like somebody has also quoted that also in the chat box with the image. That is same purport to the verse 202. Mm. What he has quoted. Yeah.
Correct, correct. That is true. That is true. But whether every single person, it is like that every single person in are all the Nitya Siddhas in Vaikuntha, an expansion of the Nitya Siddhas in Goloka Vrindavan. Those things, that is why I little bit feel more comfortable when I read that section, because there will be a lot of context to it. So I will choose not to comment on it, because when I have read it in the context, with the complete context, I feel comfortable. So
Yeah. And another point which you were saying about that Shakti Tattva and Jeev Tattva in Nitya Siddhas, if I remember, it is in the 16th chapter of Jayadharma, where there are expansions of Lord Balram. It says that Balram expands into the spiritual world, into the different living entities. And then as Sankarsana, he expands in the Vaikuntha's living entities. And as Mahavishnu, he expands the living entities into the material world. So in the 16th chapter, it comes, I think, to you.
Yeah. And then he also discusses the Kaya Vyuha expansions of Srimati Radharani. Who are they? It is there. I guess in the same chapter it is there. I will have to check that.
Yes. 16th chapter.
Yes, Kalani Dipu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Just one suggestion for the research that you are going to undertake. So basically, it seems to me that there are counterparts of Goloka devotees in Vaikuntha and their counterparts as demigods in the material creation. So then it says, but the devotees themselves, but that means the devotees who are in Goloka themselves also incarnate on earth, apart from their counterparts incarnating.
Yeah.
But so that seems to be the meaning of it. So that you may have to look into, Guruji, for other Quran mentions.
Yes. Okay. So he says Krishna will personally appear as Vasudeva's son. Therefore, all the wives of the demigods, here it is clarified by Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, is the all the wives of the expansions of Krishna in Swarga should also appear to satisfy him. This is the explanation that is given. And in the explanation, he says, Surastriyaha refers to the expansions of Krishna's eternal female companions who are present in the heavenly planets. Examples are the wives of the Manvantara Avataras and Lord Vamana. They performed worship to attain friendship and intimacy with Krishna's most dear lovers, that is the Vrajagopis. Because of this worship, they took birth. So he says they performed worship to attain friendship and intimacy with Krishna's most dear lovers. So they were friends of Krishna's Nityasiddha Gopis. Because of this worship, they took birth in the Yadu dynasty as different Priyasakis of Krishna in Bauma Vrindavan to enrich the Lord's transcendental pastimes. Like that. So, and then to substantiate this, he quotes from Ujjvala Neelamani, and he says, when Krishna appears in the family of the demigods in partial form as Vamana or the Manvantara avataras, his beloveds also appear in the form of demigoddesses to please him. I mean, they also appear in their partial form as the demigoddesses to please him. So in one sense, if you see, because he was born as the son of Aditi, actually Vamana is considered to be one of the demigods only. Upendra is considered to be one of the demigods only, in one sense, right? Just like Krishna is considered to be a human being, Lord Ramachandra is considered to be a human being, similarly Upendra is considered as a demigod, and some of the Manvantara avataras are considered to be demigods. So therefore Surastriyaha refers to those Surastriya who were actually expansions of the eternal consorts of Krishna in the spiritual world, who had actually expanded as the consort of Krishna's partial expansions in the form of Vamana and the other Manvantara avatars. That is the explanation that is given here. So when Krishna appeared on earth, these devis appeared as young unmarried gopis, Priyasakis or the Nitya Priyasakis, like that. Okay. Let us continue. Then, he is continuing his narration, Shukadeva Goswami. Sorry, this is the Brahmaji is narrating to the demigods. Vasudeva Kalanantaha Sahasravadana Swarat Agrato Bhavita Devo Arehe Priya Chikirshaya. Okay, Adi Bhagavan Prabhu asks, should we understand Sura here to be Krishna's expansions? Yeah. So, Surastriyaha refers to those expansions of Krishna who had taken the form of demigods. And their wives, their consorts are addressed here as Surastriya, according to Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur. So, Vasudeva Kala Anantaha. The foremost manifestation of Krishna is Sankarshan, who is known as Ananta. Okay. He is the origin of all incarnations within the material world. This is implied. This is not mentioned here in the verse. This is implied. Srila Prabhupada's explanation. Agrataha, previous to the appearance of Lord Krishna, Swarat, this original Sankarshan, Bhavita, he will appear as Baladev. Devaha Harehe Priya Chikirshaya, just to please the Supreme Lord Krishna in his transcendental pastimes. Okay. So, the expansion of Krishna, Balaramji, Vasudeva Kala Anantaha, actually Sahasra Vadanaha should indicate origin of all incarnations. Okay. Because here in this case, Sahasra Vadanaha would mean one who is, you know, from whom thousands of personalities manifest. He is the source of all incarnations. For that reason, actually, even Karanodaka Sai, Shirodaka Sai Vishnu and Garbhodaka Sai Vishnu are called as Sahasra Sirsha Purusha, the thousand-headed Purusha, because from them thousands of incarnations manifest. Therefore, for that purpose, they are called as Sahasra Sirsha Purusha, like that. Okay. So, the expansion of Krishna, that is Balramji, who is the He appeared prior. So sorry, he will appear. He will appear prior to Krishna's appearance to assist Krishna's pastimes. So this is Brahmaji communicating to the demigods what he had heard. So he says that the expansion of Krishna, that is Balramji, will appear prior to Krishna's appearance to assist Krishna's pastimes. So Vasudeva Kala Anantaha. Ananta is an Amsha or Kala of Baladev. This is supported with verses like Eva Amshena Sahasravadano Anantaha, whose portion is the thousand mouth Ananta, and Yasyaika Amshena Vidrita Jagati Jagataha Pate. O mighty Am Balram, with a single portion of yourself you hold up the universe. Yasya Eka Amshena. So here it should mean the expansion of Krishna, that is Balramji. This is Prabhupada's explanation. Srila Vishwanatha Thakur says, Balramji, whose expansion is Ananta. So, like that. So, Balramji, whose expansion is Ananta, he will appear prior to the appearance of Krishna. Like that. So Vasudeva Kala Anantaha. Ananta is an Amsha or Kala of Baladev. This is supported with verses like, okay. Yasya Eka Amshena Vidrita Jagati Jagatapate. Srimad Bhagavatam says, O mighty An Balram, with a single portion of yourself, Yasya Eka Amshena, you hold up the universe. Vidrita Jagati. You hold up the universe like that. Here, Baladev is described as Ananta, who is a portion of Vasudev. Swarat, it usually means independent, he who exists by himself. But here it means he who exists with his own brother Krishna. Okay. Rat means to exist. Sva means along with his own. Along with his own here refers to along with his own brother. So here Balramji is addressed as Swarat. So here Balramji is addressed as Swarat. So not because he is independent of Krishna, but because he exists with Krishna. Therefore, he is called as Swarat. And then he is also addressed as Deva here. Agrato Bhavita Devo, Devaha. So, Deva, Baladev, who is existing with his own brother, will appear first. Agrataha Bhavita. So he will be born first. He will appear first before Krishna. That is what here it is mentioned. See, this is little bit, 10th canto will be little bit of a struggle, because unlike, in the other cantos, I'm going to request Viswanath Bhanuswami Maharaj, if he has, just like the other cantos, if for 10th canto also he has given the, translation based on Srila Vishwanatha Chakradhakur's explanation. Because if you have translation based on BBT explanation and the purport which is based on Srila Vishwanatha Chakradhakur's explanation, it for many of the verses where they have given slightly different shabdartha and slightly different explanations, it creates little confusion. So So, of course, I think because this was the first first thing, one of the first things that he translated, I think initially he retained the BBT translations and only translated the commentary of Srila Vishwanatha Thakur. But again, here, you know, it creates little bit of issues to match. Like we saw in the case of Surastriya. So Surastriya is explained as the wives of demigods by Srila Prabhupada, but it is slightly differently explained by Srila Vishwanatha Thakur. So therefore it creates a little bit of confusion here. Anyways, let us continue. So here, yes, Radha Pramod Prabhu, you wanted to add something?
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yeah.
Oh, it looks like to get the position of Priyasakis of Gopis, even Lakshmis of heavenly planets, the consorts of Lord, they are aspiring for such a post to get to become friends of Gopis.
Yeah. Yeah.
And we are also doing the same.
Yes. We are trying to become servants of Gopis. Servants of Gopis, not so, friends.
Such a big aspiration. Such a, it's not a small thing what our acharyas are trying to give us. It's true, like true, true. What Lakshmis are aspiring, you're also getting the same thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Thank you. Yes, Adi Bhagavan Prabhu.
Yes, Prabhuji. Previous question I asked about Sura, no? That whether here Sura refers to Krishna's expansions. What I meant actually in the previous verse, 23rd purport, if we see, first paragraph says that Sura is the referring to demigods basically.
No. Actually, no, this is just give me 1 second.
Okay. Hmm.
Just hold it on.
Yeah.
This is 10.1.23. Just give me 1 second. So let's go. I will share the screen. Okay. So Vishwanatha Thakur says, Surastriya, the wives of the Devas, refers to the expansions of Krishna's eternal female companions. Oh, okay. So the wives of the Devas means first he gives the literal meaning.
Yeah, that's what I mean. It's a literal meaning. Later the Devas and the Surastriya both are explained.
See, actually, na, I will have to confirm this from His Holiness Banaswami Maharaj. Huh. If only, because Surastriya is the literal meaning he has given. If he had not given this, let's say, if he had not given this, okay, then it would mean Surastriya refers to the expansions of Krishna's eternal female companions who are present in the heavenly planets. This is very clear, right?
Mm.
So, but because he puts this wives of the Devas, he puts the literal translation.
Correct.
And then explains it. For a second, it is little confusing.
Yeah.
But otherwise, if you forget this, then if you read it as Surastriya refers to the expansions of Krishna's eternal female companions who are present in the heavenly planets, that makes it very clear actually.
That's clear, Guruji. Yeah. But later when Vishwanatha Thakur is explaining these demigoddess actually are the sadhana siddhas,
mm-hmm.
and their husbands happens to be Krishna's expansions.
Correct.
So that husband is actually none other than Sura actually.
Correct. Nahin, so, that they are suras because just like, you know, they are like the forms of the Lord, just like Tiryan Rishishu Yadasu Tad Atyanta Vidambanam, you know, Krishna appears sometimes in the form of animals like boars. He appears so some, and he appears as humans like Lord Ramachandra and others. Sometimes he appears as demigods also, like Vamana. So there it refers to the demigod like expansions of Krishna, which is Vamana and some of the Manvantara avatars like that.
Okay. Yeah. That's what And yeah, I just checked in Jaya Dharma. It says that the four classes of Sakhis who expand, they are expansions from Radharani only, and they are the Chit Shakti expansions actually.
Correct.
It mentions, yeah. So I'm just post pasting the quote.
Okay. Yeah, it says, wow, it's a long one. Let's read. Did the Chit Shakti create the Jiva? Okay, in Jaiva Dharma, because it's a storyline.
Conversation.
Okay, conversation. So he's asking, did the Chit Shakti create the Jiva, endowing him with interesting Tatastha Swabhava? Raghunath Das Babaji Maharaj says, no, the Chit Shakti is the full and absolute spiritual energy of Shri Krishna, and her creations are eternally perfect. The Jiva is not a Nitya Siddha, an eternally perfect being. The Jiva becomes perfect through sadhana. That is, he becomes a sadhana Siddha and then experiences the same level of spiritual bliss as that of a Nitya Siddha. The four classes of Sakhis serving Srimati Radharani are Nitya Siddha. Srimati Radhika is Chit Shakti Swarupa and the embodiment of Chit Shakti, and these Nitya Siddha Sakhis are her Kaya Vyuha, direct personal expansions. Thus they emanate from the Chit Shakti, Srimati Radhika herself. So they are not Jivas. Okay. So, yeah, that is quite clear. Second, explanation of Jiva Shakti, expansion of Baldev, Sankarshan, Mahavishnu. Okay, I don't think, let us not take it right now.
Yeah, first part was relevant one. Yeah.
First part was relevant. The second part, we will not take it right now. It is not. It will lead to unnecessary other discussions. Not right now. We will not take it right now. Okay. So, okay. Let us continue our discussion. So this is Brahmaji communicating to the Devatas, the order that he had received from Sri Radha Sai Vishnu. Okay. Then he says, Vishnormaya Bhagavati Yaya Sammohitam Jagat Adishta Prabhunam Shena Karyarte Sambhavishyati. Then he says, Vishnormaya, the potency of the Lord known as Vishnumaya, Bhagavati, who is as good as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sambhavishyati, she will also appear with Lord Krishna. The potency of the Lord known as Vishnumaya, who is as good as the Supreme Lord, Bhagavati, will also appear with Lord Krishna. Yaya Sammohitam Jagat. This potency, acting in different capacities, captivates all the worlds, both material and spiritual. Okay. Of course, as Yogamaya, she captivates the spiritual world, and as Mahamaya, she bewilders people of this material world. Prabhuna Adishta, at the request of her master, Amshena Sambhavishyati, she will appear with her different potencies, Karyarte, in order to execute the work of the Lord. Let's see the, read the explanations and then we will try to summarize it. So, in order to charm the eternal devotees and bewildered the enemies like Kamsa, Krishna gave orders to Yogamaya and Mahamaya. Very in one first line only, it becomes very clear. In order to charm the eternal associates. So Yogamaya You don't call it bewildering. Yoga Maya charms. Charms the eternal associates. Whereas Mahamaya bewilders the enemies like Kamsa. Vishnor Maya refers to both the energies of the Lord. Both the energies of the Lord. But elsewhere in Bhagavatam, it is stated that Krishna gave orders to Yoga Maya. Being ordered by the Lord, Yoga Maya and her expansion as the external energy Mahamaya, which bewilders the world, will appear. Okay. The Shruti Vidya of Narada Pancharatra states that Mahamaya is an expansion of Yoga Maya. So Yoga Maya is the Swarup Shakti of Lord Vishnu. She is completely surrendered and unswerving in devotion to the Lord. Her nature is Prema and she rules over Gopula like a queen. One immediately attains the Lord by her mercy. Her Avaranika Shakti is Mahamaya, the controller of the material realm. By her influence, all jivas identify with their bodies and become bewildered. Mahamaya is also called Durga, Eka, and Ekanamsha. Like that. So, this is a long purport. But anyways, let us try to summarize here. So here, it is mentioned that being ordered by the Lord, Yoga Maya under expansion, Mahamaya, will appear. That's what he says, right? Vishnor Maya Bhagavati Yaya Sammohitam Jagat Adishta Prabhuna Amshena Karyarte Sambhavishyati. Karyarte. To execute the work of Krishna, Yoga Maya along with her expansion, Mahamaya, will also appear. So this is what Brahmaji is communicating to the devatas. Okay. So, Karyarte, for executing the activities. There are two types of activities, those of Yoga Maya and those of Maya. Maya here refers to Mahamaya. Okay. Yoga Maya came to the prison. Yoga Maya came to the prison when Krishna was born, transferred the seventh child from Devaki's womb and put Yashoda into deep sleep to exchange the two children. These are activities of Yoga Maya and not Mahamaya. So Yoga Maya came to the prison when Krishna was born, transferred the seventh child from Devaki's womb and put Yashoda into deep sleep to exchange the two children. So these are the activities of Yoga Maya and not Mahamaya. Mahamaya does not have the power to transfer her master Balram to another womb. Yashoda's sleep is not the work of Mahamaya because the scriptures say that beyond the fourth state of consciousness is the fifth state of prema. Like that. So, the dreaming of Krishna's eternal associates occurs in the state of prema. Their sleep and dreaming are not caused by the modes of nature. So, therefore, Mahamaya cannot have any role on eternal associates. Mahamaya can only act on conditioned souls. She does not act on eternal associates. So, like that. So, Mahamaya cannot exert any influence over the eternal associates of the Lord. The form of Devaki's daughter that Kamsa tried to kill was Mahamaya and not Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya does not involve herself with such sinful people. Okay. So both of them manifested in that episode. Mahamaya slipped from Kamsa's hands, rose up in the sky, and then settled in many places with different names after saying, I will be born from the womb of Yashoda in Nanda's house in the 28th Yuga cycle at the end of Vaivaswata Manvantara. As a resident of Vindhya Mountain, I will kill your evil companions. So, the bewilderment of the husbands and mothers-in-law of the married gopis joining the Rasalila was an action of Yoga Maya, not Mahamaya, because the husbands were not atheistic or unfavorable towards the Lord. So, this is in Krishna's Leela, you know, Jatila, Kutila, and all of them, you know, they were under the influence of Yoga Maya because they were all eternal associates of Krishna. So if they were under the influence of Mahamaya, then one would certainly observe in them hostility towards the Lord. But that was not seen. The Bhagavatam's first verse describing Krishna's Lasalila says, Yogamayam Upashritaha, taking shelter of the internal spiritual energy. On the other hand, demons like Duryodhana and Shalva never gave respect to the Lord, even though they saw Krishna's Vishwarup and Garuda carrier. They thought Krishna was one of the wicked Yadavas. This is the action of Mahamaya and not Yogamaya, because their actions show hostility towards the Lord. The bewilderment of the demons is the action of Mahamaya, and the bewilderment of the devotees is the action of Yogamaya. Of course, here devotees refers to perfected devotees. Perfected devotees and perfect devotees. Sadhana Siddhas and Nitya Siddhas. When Yashoda saw the universal form in Krishna's mouth and when Nanda Maharaj saw Krishna in Varuna Loka, they were completely unaffected by it because of their intense Vatsalya Bhav, even though they saw such majestic aspects of the Lord. This is neither the action of Yoga Maya nor Mahamaya. It is the nature of Prema itself. Prema covers one's knowledge of the Lord's power and majesty, Aishwaryamaya Jnana, and binds up Krishna in the hearts of his Premi Bhaktas more and more with the ropes of spiritual possessiveness. Atishaya Mamatvankitaha, as Srila Rupa Goswami mentions in Bhakti Rasam Sindhu. As affection for Krishna increases, prema completely submerges the devotees in the great ocean of relishing Krishna's sweetness. Okay. To convey this unique quality of prema, the Tantra says, Krishna spread his Vaishnavi Maya in the form of parental affection. Extreme affection for a son is the unique quality of Vatsalya prema. In this verse, Yoga Maya is referred to as Maya since it shares the quality of spreading illusion with Mahamaya. Let us read the purport once more. Okay, this is a long purport, but this is important. So, here is Brahmaji communicating to the demigods about the order that he had received from Shiradara Sai Vishnu. So, he says, the potency of the Lord to execute the work of Krishna, Yoga Maya along with her expansion Mahamaya will also appear. Vishnor Maya Bhagavati Yaya Sammohitam Jagat Adishta Prabhuna Prabhuna Adishta Amshena Karyarte Sambhavishyati. To execute the work of the Lord, she will appear along with her expansion Mahamaya. This is the explanation. Okay. So, here, Srila Vishnu Chakravarti says, in order to charm the eternal devotees and bewilder the enemies like Kamsa, Krishna gave orders to Yoga Maya and Mahamaya. So, Vishnur Maya refers to both the energies of the Lord, but elsewhere in Bhagavatam, it is stated that Krishna gave orders to Yoga Maya. So, he gave order to Yoga Maya. Being ordered by the Lord, Yoga Maya and her expansion as Mahamaya, which bewilders the world, will appear. This is the understanding. The Shruti Vidya of Narada Pancharatra states that Mahamaya is an expansion of Yogamaya. So now the explanation, he says, Yogamaya is the Swarup Shakti of Lord Vishnu, which is the internal potency. She is completely surrendered and unswerving in devotion to the Lord. And the nature of this Yogamaya is Prema. And she rules over Gokula like a queen. Gokula is Vrindavan. So, one immediately attains the Lord by her mercy. So, this is about Yogamaya. Her Avaranika Shakti, her covering Shakti, is Mahamaya, who is the controller of the material realm. She controls the material realm. By her influence, her refers to Mahamaya. By Mahamaya's influence, all the jivas identify with their bodies and become bewildered. Yaya sammohito jivo atmanam trigunatmakam paropi manute anartam tatkritam cha abhipadyate. So, by her influence, the jivas identify with their bodies and then become bewildered. So, Mahamaya is also called as Durga, Eka and Ekanamsha. So, karyarte means karyarte sambhavishyati. So, Yogamaya along with her expansion Mahamaya will appear for the performance of particular activities, executing particular activities. What are the activities? So, he says, there are two types of activities, those of Yogamaya and those of Mahamaya. So, what were the activities of Yogamaya? Yogamaya came to the prison when Krishna was born. She transferred the seventh child from Devaki's womb and put Yashoda into deep sleep to exchange the two children. So who was the seventh child who was transferred from Devaki's womb? Who was the seventh child who was transferred from Devaki's womb? Balramji, right? And then she was the one. So these are two different things, because there is a question and I understand where that question is coming from. So these two are two different activities. Okay. These are not connected activities. So when he is talking about activities of Yogamaya, so he is talking about Yogamaya was the one who transferred Balramji from the womb of Devaki to the womb of Rohini. This is one pastime. And the second pastime is she was the one who put Yashoda into deep sleep so that Vasudev could exchange, put Krishna and take Yogamaya from there. So this is the second episode. So he's talking about two different things. Okay. So the question that is asked in the chat box is due to combining these two. These are not one. This is two different. So Yogamaya has acted on Devaki in the first episode by transferring Balramji from her womb to Rohini's womb. And she is the one who put Yashoda into deep sleep to exchange the two children. These are two different pastimes. These are the activities of Yogamaya and these are not activities of Mahamaya. So, Mahamaya does not have the power to transfer her master Balram to another womb. So, here it is made very clear. Right? Balramji was transferred. Yeah, and similarly, Yashoda's sleep is not the work of Mahamaya, because the scriptures say that beyond the fourth state of consciousness, Turiya, beyond the fourth state is the fifth state of Prema. the first three states of three states are Jagrati, Sushupti, and Swapa. Jagrati is the state when one is awake. Sushupti is deep sleep. And Swapa is dreamy state. All these three are material states. Beyond that is when one is on the level of liberation, that is called as Turiya, or the fourth state. Prema is still higher state, which is the fifth state. So, the dreaming of Krishna's eternal associates occurs in the state of Prema. Their sleep and dreaming are not caused by the modes of nature. So, this is very clear. Okay. So, then Mahamaya cannot exert any influence over the eternal associates of the Lord. So Mahamaya cannot exert any influence over the eternal associates of the Lord. The form of Devaki's daughter that Kamsa tried to kill was Mahamaya. That was not Yogamaya. Okay. So, that was Mahamaya, that was not Yogamaya. So, where Mahamaya is acting? So, because Karyarthe Sambhavishyati, for the purpose of accomplishing Krishna's, or for the purpose of executing their duties, Yogamaya appeared along with her expansion, Mahamaya. So, which were the duties of Yogamaya, which were the duties of Mahamaya, that is being described here. So Mahamaya so cannot exert any influence over the eternal associates of the Lord. Okay. Now, the form of Devaki's daughter that Kamsa tried to kill was Mahamaya. That was not Yogamaya. Okay. But the daughter that Devaki delivered, was that Yogamaya or Mahamaya? Yeah, similarly as Mother Sita also could not be touched by Ravana, that was Maya Sita. Okay. So in my understanding, the daughter that Mother Yashoda delivered was Yogamaya. Then when whom Kamsa caught, that was Mahamaya. And she bewildered him. Like that. So, Yogamaya does not involve herself with such sinful people. Not Devaki. Devaki did not deliver a daughter. Yashoda delivered a daughter. So, Yogamaya does not involve herself with such sinful people. Mahamaya slipped from Kamsa's hands, rose up in the sky, and then settled in many places with different names after saying, I will be born from the womb of Yashoda in Nanda's house in the 28th Yuga cycle at the end of Vaivasvata Manvantara. As a result of Vindhya Mountain, as a resident of Vindhya Mountain, I will kill your evil companions, like that she says. So now, we saw that bewilderment of conditioned souls like Kamsa is Mahamaya. The charming of the eternal associates of Krishna, that is Yogamaya. What about the bewilderment of the husbands, mothers-in-law of the married gopis, joining the Rasalila? They were bewildered. So their bewilderment, was it an action of Yogamaya or Mahamaya? He says that was an action of Yogamaya only and not Mahamaya, because the husbands were not atheistic or unfavorable towards the Lord. So if they were under the influence of Mahamaya, so what is the symptom of influence of Mahamaya? He says then one would certainly observe in them hostility towards the Lord. Okay. The Bhagavatam's first verse describing Krishna's Rasalila. The Bhagavatam's first verse describing Krishna's Rasalila says, Yogamayam Upashrita, taking shelter of the internal spiritual energy. On the other hand, demons like Duryodhana, Shalva, they never gave respect to the Lord, even though they saw Krishna's Vishwarupa and Garuda carrier. They thought Krishna was one of those wicked Yadavas. This is the action of Mahamaya and not Yogamaya, because their actions show hostility towards the Lord. So the symptom of Mahamaya is hostility towards the Lord. So the bewilderment of the demons is the action of Mahamaya, and the bewilderment of the devotees, that is the perfected devotees and the perfect devotees, is the action of Yogamaya. Okay. So when Yashoda saw the universal form in Krishna's mouth, so now is everyone always under the influence of Yogamaya or Mahamaya? Actually, he says not necessarily. Is every action of the Vrajavasis, are they under Yogamaya? No. So not necessarily. So she is just one of the energies. When Yashoda saw the universal form in Krishna's mouth, and when Nanda Maharaj saw Krishna in Varuna Loka, they were completely unaffected by it. Because of their intense Vatsalya Bhav, even though they saw such majestic aspects of the Lord. So when Mother Yashoda saw the universal form within the mouth of Krishna, Nanda Maharaj saw Krishna in Varuna Loka, in a very majestic aspect, but in either cases they did not affect the Vatsalya Bhav of either Mother Yashoda or Nanda Maharaj. This is neither the action of Yoga Maya nor Mahamaya. This is the nature of Prema itself. So Yogamaya, what she does is, she manifests or unmanifests certain things in front of the perfected devotees. But she does not create that kind of the response, the situation is created by Yogamaya. The response of the eternally perfected devotees is due to their prema only. It is their inherent prema. So Yogamaya manifested the Vishwarup in the mouth of Krishna for Yashoda to see. But Mother Yashoda, being unaffected by it, is not created by Yogamaya. That is due to her own natural Vraja Prem that she had towards Krishna. So as Chaitanya Charitamrita says, Aishwarya na mane. Can someone find out that verse? What is that? Can someone find out that verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita? It says, Aishwarya na mane. Can you find that verse and translation and put it in the chat box? Aishwarya na mane. What is that verse? Can someone find out from the Chaitanya Charitamrita and share it in the chat box? So, therefore, the manifestation of Vishwarup is so Rityartam yat pratiyeta na pratiyeta chatmani tad vidyadatmano mayam yatabaso yatatamaha. So, manifestation of something or non-manifestation of something is is actually the role of Yoga Maya, but the emotion that it creates is due to their own inherent prema. Okay, is due to their. No, I don't think it is this verse. It ends with na mane. It comes na mane. There may be many na mane, but I think I don't think it is this one. I don't think it is this one. So this also says, "Oh, namane Aishwarya, dekhiya namane Aishwarya kevala riti." I don't know if it is this one. What is the translation of this? Aishwarya jnana pradanye sankuchita priti, dekhiya namane Aishwarya. When opulence is very prominent, love of Godhead is somewhat crippled. According to Kevala devotion, however, even though the devotee sees the unlimited potency of Krishna, he considers himself equal to him. Yeah, correct. Yeah, this is the one. So, yeah, I think this is the one. Yeah, thank you. So, here, so the external situation is created by Yoga Maya in the eternal associates. You know, like for example, Yoga Maya manifested Virat Roop in front of Arjuna. And Arjuna became completely, you know, sort of scared, and his Sakya Bhav became completely threatened. Okay. But when the same Vishwaroop was shown to Mother Yashoda, she was completely unaffected by it. Okay. So Arjuna's Sakya Bhav feeling threatened is not due to Yoga Maya. Yoga Maya's role is to manifest Virat Roop. But the effect of that seeing that Virat Roop is due to his own nature of prema. The nature of prema outside Vrindavan is such that whenever there is a show of Aishwarya, it threatens their Sakya Bhav, Vatsalya Bhav, like that. Yeah, I think, yes, now you got it. This is the one. Kevalara Shuddha Prema Aishwarya Na Jane Aishwarya Dekile Nija Sambandha Semane. This is the one, correct. In the stage of Kevala or unalloyed devotion, a devotee does not consider the unlimited opulence of Krishna, even though he experiences it. He takes seriously only his own relationship with Krishna. So this is Kevalara Shuddha Prema. So this kind of prema, this kind of Kevalara Shuddha Prema is seen only in the associates of the Lord in Vrindavan, in Goloka Vrindavan. So when they see Aishwarya na jane, Aishwarya dekhileo nija sambandha se mane. When they see Aishwarya, they actually, even if they see Aishwarya, he takes seriously only his own relationship with Krishna, not the Aishwarya. So that is why showing of the universal form is Yoga Maya. But Mother Yashoda not being affected by it is not Yoga Maya. That is due to her own prema only. And showing of the universal form to Arjuna is Yoga Maya. But Arjuna becoming scared and becoming his Sakya Bhava becoming threatened is not due to Yoga Maya. It is due to Arjuna's nature of love that he possesses towards Krishna. So, therefore, the role of Yoga Maya is to create particular external situations to bring out the real prema which is there within the heart of the devotees. So that is the role of Yoga Maya. So there is prema, the response of the devotees is due to their prema, but the external situation can be orchestrated by the yogamaya potency. So that is what here it is being described here. When Yashoda saw the universal form in Krishna's mouth, and when Nanda Maharaj saw Krishna in Varuna Loka, they were completely unaffected by it because of their intense Vatsalya Bhav, even though they saw such majestic aspects of the Lord. This is neither the action of Yoga Maya nor Mahamaya. It is the nature of Prema itself. What is the nature of Prema? The response is due to Prema. But the seeing of the majestic aspect of Krishna, that can be that is orchestrated by Yoga Maya. But the Vrajavasi is not being affected by that. That is due to their prema only. Prema covers one's knowledge of the Lord's power and majesty and binds up Krishna in the hearts of his premi bhaktas more and more with the ropes of spiritual possessiveness. So prema covers the knowledge of the Lord's power. But Lord's manifestation of Lord's power in the form of universal form here, that is an orchestration by Yoga Maya. That is very clearly mentioned in the explanation of Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur only in the second Chatushloki, in the second canto, 9th chapter. Rite Artham Yat Pratiyet. So manifestation of that universal form is Yoga Maya. But the response of Mother Yashoda is due to her prema. So Yogamaya's role is what? She sometimes covers certain things. She sometimes manifests certain things. In the Damodar Leela, Mother Yashoda tries to bind Krishna. You know, it is always two fingers too short. That is orchestrated by Yogamaya. That how that day morning only, Mother Yashoda, she dressed Krishna with a kamarpatti. And the kamarpatti she could easily, belt, which she could easily put on Krishna. But that same day, little later during the day, when she tried to bind Krishna, the rope was two fingers too short. That is orchestrated by Yogamaya. But the response of Mother Yashoda to that rope being two fingers too short, that response is due to her own prema. So the response is due to prema. The external manifestation, the orchestration of the external pastime is due to Yogamaya. So that is what is being clarified here. So this is neither the action of Yoga Maya nor Mahamaya. It is the nature of Prema itself. Prema covers one's knowledge of the Lord's power and majesty and binds up Krishna in the hearts of his premi bhaktas more and more with the ropes of spiritual possessiveness. As affection for Krishna increases, Prema completely submerges the devotees in the great ocean of relishing Krishna's sweetness. To convey this unique quality of prema, the tantra says, Krishna spreads his Vaishnavi Maya in the form of parental affection. Krishna spread his Vaishnavi Maya in the form of parental affection. Extreme affection for a son is the unique quality of Vatsalya prema. In this verse, Yoga Maya is referred to as Maya, since it shares the quality of spreading illusion with Mahamaya. That is why it is called as Maya. Anyways, so the point is, so in this verse he describes that how karyarte sambhavishyati. Vishnor Maya Bhagavati yaya sammohitam jagat adishta prabhunam shena karyarte sambhavishyati. So the potency of the Lord known as Vishnu Maya, which is Yoga Maya, to execute the work of Krishna, Yoga Maya along with her expansion Mahamaya will also appear. So in this purport, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur explains what is the work which in the pastime of Krishna, what is the work which Yogamaya does, what is the work which Mahamaya does, what is the jurisdiction of Yogamaya, what is the jurisdiction of Mahamaya, and how the external situation, even in perfected devotees, the external situation is orchestrated by Yogamaya, but the internal response of the devotee is due to their own prema, and that is not due to Yogamaya. Like that. Any quick discussion points, comments, questions, anything anyone would like to share, ask, add? Yes, Krishna Prabhu.
Hello, Prabhu. Prabhu, that previous slide, 2-3 slides back, where you had mentioned about perfected and perfected devotees.
Let me check.
This one. You are saying here that the bewilderment of demons is the action of
Mahamaya,
and the bewilderment of devotees is the action of Yogamaya.
Yeah.
So in the case of the husbands of married gopis,
they were perfected devotees.
But you have mentioned that because they were not envious, so Yogamaya acted on them. So I was a little confused whether it was the being non-envious is the cause or because
No. So because it may seem like they were stopping the gopis from going. From the pastime perspective, they were stopping the gopis from going to meet Krishna. So one may wonder that, oh, the gopis were in Yogamaya, but the husbands and the mother-in-laws, they were in Mahamaya. But he clarifies, no, they were also under Yogamaya only, because if they were under Mahamaya, they must have shown some inimical attitude towards Krishna. This is just a pastime, so they were also under Yogamaya. That is clarified here.
So they were also perfect devotees.
Yes.
Okay. So the qualification is basically that they should be perfect devotees. Being non-envious is only incidental. That is not the primary
qualification. That is not the primary qualification. Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes. Keshav Priya Mataji.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji. Dandavat Pranam Prabhuji. Prabhuji, you are explaining about the four stages of consciousness now, Prabhuji. Mm-hmm. So the fifth or fourth is prema, you are explaining like that, Prabhuji.
Fifth.
So that means, Prabhuji, that consciousness is totally different. Like as a jiva of this material world, we have only two, like we have only two conscious level, is it, Prabhuji, while awakening? How much we have, Prabhuji, here?
How much we have means?
No, Prabhuji, our conscious level. Yeah, as sadhakas.
As sadhakas, we experience, as of now, only three stages.
Mm.
Sushupti, Jagrati, and Swapa.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, Prabhuji, that means that the conscious level itself is totally in a different platform now, Prabhuji. Then, again, perfect devotees like Prabhupada, they are functioning here also in this material world. So, they can use any of these conscious level, is it, Prabhuji? They will have...
They are under prema only.
Yes, Prabhuji, but...
Their Sushupti... Their apparent Sushupti, Swapa and Jagrati, it is all under prema only. It is not under, because Sushupti, Swapa and Jagrati are under the influence of the three modes.
Okay.
But for perfected devotees, the Sushupti, Jagrata and Swapa, even though that is why it is mentioned that even the deep sleep and the dreamy state of devotees are of perfected devotees are not influenced by the three modes. So therefore, that is not strictly the Sushupti, Jagrata and Swapa of conditioned souls. That is also inspired by prema only for them.
When someone goes to that fifth state of consciousness, everything will be taken over by prema only.
Yeah.
Is it, Prabhuji?
Yes.
Consciousness will be fully controlled by prema. And yeah. Prabhuji, like constantly we are using the word here also, many expression, Yogamaya's influence, Mahamaya's influence, we're using this adi. In many places we're using this, Prabhuji. What is it that influence means? Only the illusion part, does it mean that they're put under illusion? So right. Yogamaya's influence means they're put under illusion by Yogamaya. And Mahamaya's means influence means they are put under illusion by Mahamaya. Is it like that, correct. Prabhuji?
Correct.
Prabhuji, and we're all functioning with certain energy. Actually, all these days, many I thought this is why energy means we are functioning here. No, Prabhuji, that energy I was thinking, it's not some literally some energy. Is it, Prabhuji?
I don't understand your question.
No, Prabhuji, we need some energy to perform our activities. No, Prabhuji.
No, it is not that kind of energy. No. It is not empowering you, not that kind of energy. It is just an external energy which creates a situation. And in the case of the eternally perfect devotees, they respond to that particular external situation which is created by Yoga Maya. Their response is powered by prema.
Okay.
Like that.
Prabhuji, in 6th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, there is a state of, there's a stopping of consciousness. So, how to understand that, Prabhuji? Like, I think it's samadhi. I don't know the exact, 20 to 23, Prabhuji, 6th chapter, 20 to 23 of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna was explaining about samadhi, no, Prabhuji.
Yeah.
So there is a mention that his consciousness will come to a stoppage.
Not consciousness. Yatro paramate chittam niruddham yoga sevaya.
So that chitta niruddham. Yeah.
So chitta stops means what it means is there is no the role of chitta is actually memory, material memories, memories of material past, material memories. Because the chitta has been purified of material impressions, therefore, chitta vritti nirodha, chitta vritti is stopped, means the no longer there is a material emotion created when the senses come in touch with material sense objects. That is the meaning.
But in the immediate next line says, with the help of Paramatma, he will see Paramatma. That means he will not have any, what stage is it? He will not know anything, is it? Like, only with the help of Paramatma, he can, because all his activities are stopped. Something like that will come to you. I want to just know, because here also conscious level is described.
There what it means is, because he has surrendered the material senses, and because he has not by practice of pure bhakti, he has not awakened the spiritual senses, there his realization of Paramatma is aided by Paramatma. That is what it means.
But very next line says that he gains happiness through his spiritual senses, Prabhuji, in that also, in that translation also.
It just says Atindriyam. Atindriyam means his bliss is not the bliss of material gratification. That's what it means.
Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Hema Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, I just read the Krishna Katha. In that, Krishna with his cowherd friends, he'll be there, and then the husbands of the gopis, they will be doing sacrifice, and these cowherd boys will feel hungry. That time Krishna will tell, go and ask prasadam from the husband. Yeah. So they will just send them out. Again, he'll send them to the gopis. The gopis will immediately give them prasadam. So who is in Yoga Maya and who is in Mahamaya in that way, saying, Prabhuji?
When we come to that episode, we will find that out, Mataji. I also don't know for sure. Are the actions of the brahmanas, because the episode itself mentions there was definitely some inimical attitude towards Krishna. So in my understanding, the brahmanas were acting under Mahamaya and the brahmana patnis were under Yogamaya. This is my understanding, but I will have to confirm it. I will confirm it and I will let you know.
Okay, Prabhuji. Thank you.
It's Madhavi Gopi Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Prabhuji, like when Arjuna sees the Virat form, his Sakhya drops to Aishwarya. And when Yashoda Maya sees the Virat roop, it does not affect her. So these both incidents should be taken just as the different shades of prema.
Correct.
Or because of the different rasas, like Arjuna is in Sakhya rasa and Maya is in Vatsalya rasa.
So no.
That no hierarchy like that. Huh?
No, it's not like that. I mean, there is hierarchy like that, but here this is just a difference between Vraja Prem and Prem outside Vraja.
Okay, yeah, right. Okay, and the another thing, the consciousness states we were discussing. So when we say that in our devotional ladder, like 9 stages from Shraddha to Prema, so when someone reaches to the stage of Bhava or Prema, that means they actually transgress the level of consciousness, what we experience here. It should be understood that way.
Yeah, true. Yes. When someone has reached that stage of Prema, then they are beyond the first 4 stages. The Swapa, Jagrati and Sushupti and Turiya also. So even though they may sleep, but their sleep is not induced by mode of ignorance. Even though they may perform certain activities which may seem to involve passion, but that is not driven by passion. So it is all driven by prema. So their dream is also driven by prema. Their sleep is also driven by prema. And in their awakened state, whatever actions they perform, which may seemingly indicate that it is inspired by one of the 3 modes, it is actually inspired by prema.
Yeah, that is why, Prabhuji, like all the great acharyas we see, like Prabhupada or Bhaktivinoda Thakur, they used to sleep for such a small time period. And still, they were so energetic to work. So it must be due to that at the stage of prema, they will sleep as per their wish. It is not that the body really requires that sleep.
Yeah, yeah.
As
yeah.
In case of us, like we may think we want to do that, but we can never do that. Body doesn't adjust with that situation. Yeah. Okay. So, and one more thing, Prabhuji, like, so all those who reach at the stage of prema, they are all, means they are equal to the ragatmika bhaktas. I have this confusion since long time that we say that some are sadhana siddha bhaktas and some are raganugas. Mm-hmm. Raganugas are those who follow the ragatmika bhaktas. So I just wanted to know that all those who reach the stage of prema, are they equivalent to ragatmika bhaktas? Or no one can...
Sense. Yes.
Okay. Okay. So by following Raganuga sadhana, one can reach to that stage. Also.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you so much.
Okay. Ramangi Radhika Madhu.
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, Dhanva Pranam. Prabhuji, Bhagavad Gita, this sloka, Mahatmanas Tumam Pardha, Daivim Prakritim. So all the pure devotees will be under the shelter of this Daivim Prakriti. That means we were told from the beginning, Krishna has no beginning, no end. Krishna has no father, no mother. But because of love, he accepts devotees as his mother and father and all that. And even those devotees, because of Krishna's yoga maya, they think that they are father and mother, even though the Lord cannot have anyone like above him. So isn't it a contradiction now for the topic? No,
Krishna always has father and mother, but he does not have father and mother like us. Our position of our having a father and mother is under the platform of false ego, and it is a temporary thing. When Krishna has father and mother, it is not under false ego, it is under true ego. And those father and mother are eternal father and mother.
Correct, Prabhuji. My question is now, because of Yoga Maya only, they are thinking that they are the father and mother,
no,
isn't
no,
it?
No, 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 no,
no. What is Prema and what is Yoga Maya, Prabhuji? I could not differentiate between them. Both are internal energy only, you know, both are the forms of...
Yeah, both are internal energy, but their roles are different. So, Prema is something which is inherent to those jivas, you know. Inherent in the sense, you know, they possess that prema. But Yoga Maya is an external person. Like, for example, let's say someone wants to play a prank on someone's mother. Okay. So he calls the mother and he says that I have kidnapped your child. I have kidnapped your child and I want, 10 lakh rupees to take your child back or whatever. Or someone says, your child fell inside the, water or something like that. So that is an external situation. So now the mother's response to that news is generated by her love. Okay. So that the orchestration, the external orchestration, the dham expands to facilitate certain pastimes, the dham contracts, those things are orchestrated. Now, or sometimes Krishna, so many different things. When Krishna does not understand something, Krishna, those external things are orchestrated by Yoga Maya, but the internal response is due to prema. So, for example, here Yoga Maya shows Yashoda the universal form in Krishna's mouth. So, that showing of the universal form in Krishna's mouth is orchestrated by Yoga Maya. That is an external thing. But how Mother Yashoda responds to seeing that is due to her prema, like that.
Okay, Babaji. So, prema is another component of internal energy, like it is not, they are all not the same.
Yeah, they are not same. Yeah.
And prema is coming from Chit Shakti of internal energy, correct? My understanding.
Chit Shakti and internal energy are same only.
Same only, okay. Thank you, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna. Pranam.
Okay, I think we will pause here and continue this discussion on Thursday. So, just a quick reminder that we have afternoon 12 to 2, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, there is Brihad Bhagavatamrita. And Tuesdays and Thursdays, there is 10th Canto. So, initially we used to have all 5 days same sessions. Now, the system has changed. So, Mondays, Wednesdays and Fridays only we have Brihad Bhagavatamrita, and Tuesdays and Thursdays we have 10th Canto. Just a reminder. So, thank you all very much for your patient listening and your enthusiastic participation. We will continue this session on Thursday. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur Pad ki jai, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much.